The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, and welcome to a built heritage story on Heritage South with Senga and Davey, made possible through funding from the Southland Heritage and Building Preservation Trust. Welcome, Davey.
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. It's lovely to have you back, and it's lovely to be talking about another significant heritage property. And of course, we're not restricting ourselves to Invercargill.
No, we're not.
And so for this next story, we're actually kind of heading to your neck of the woods, really, aren't we?
We are, the best part of Southland, Western Southland.
Not that you're biased at all.
Not that I'm biased at all.
No, but actually we're not going to Orapuke.
Second best part of Southland.
Well, okay. we're actually going to the township of Riverton. And here you go. Did you know that Riverton is actually one of the oldest towns in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but it is one of the oldest, or it is the oldest Pākehā settlement in both Southland and Otago.
Yeah, but don't mention that to Bluff, because they might think that they have a claim, but yeah.
I know.
But that's something for Bluff and Riverton to work through, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure that they will be able to hold hands and be friends.
I'm sure we'll all sing Kumbaya. It'll be fine.
So, Davey, why did the Pākehā go to Riverton?
Well, the first Pākehā were there. John Howell, he was a whaler, he set up a whaling station there around 1836, 1837. So it was probably the first established community. So whereas Bluff was a little more of like a trading post, there was actually a whaling station and associated community with it there. Riverton, some fun facts about Riverton. Did you know that it boasts the first school in the province that was also opened around that same time?
I think they had all the amenities, because not only did they have the first school in the province, mm-hmm. but then a few years later in 1861, they actually opened the first hospital.
See, that's remarkably early, isn't it?
It is, really.
You know, just a fledgling settlement then. So, and also, in that same year, they also had their first recorded horse race at the course on the outskirts of town. And that course is still there.
I know. I think that's really...
Hospitals, horse racing, schooling, gosh, everything.
Well, that way when somebody hurt themselves horse racing, the hospital's
exactly.
right here.
Perfect. Perfect.
But back to 1836-37, when, as you said, Captain John Howell, a British trader and a whaler, he actually came, he'd been sent to look for whaling station possibilities, and he selected Jacob's River because that's what Riverton was known as originally, wasn't it?
It was. Mm. Well, Aparima before Pākehā came around, but
indeed,
yes.
Indeed.
But Jacob's River, yeah.
Yes.
Which is, it's still remembered in some of the names around there, and that became the whaling station.
Yeah, so I think about 1858 is when the Pākehā began calling it Riverton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I quite like Jacob's River, though. It sounds like quite a nice little name, doesn't it?
I know. But anyway, Riverton it is. And we're here, of course, today to talk about one of the very first houses to be built
That's right.
And it was commissioned by Captain Howell. And, of course, that is Howell's Cottage,
yes.
Which is also known as Whare Kohikohi.
Right.
And they think it was built probably about 1837, 1838.
So one of the earliest wooden buildings in Southland, I would have thought.
Yeah.
If not, well, yes, in colonial times anyway. Koi, she's an interesting lady. So that was his wife. She was a daughter of a well-respected iwi, mana whenua from Rarotoka or Centre Island, on land that was part of her significant dowry. So she married Howell, and then Howell sort of inherited all this land around Riverton, which is pretty cool.
Mm. I do think that, the cottage itself was made out of Australian hardwood that I think he brought in himself?
I think so, yeah. He must have liked they had better sawmilling operations in Australia rather, because there's plenty of wood in those days around Riverton.
Yeah, so he probably must have, too early for the sawmilling industry.
So it was probably easier to buy all the materials over in Australia because he was a regular visitor.
That's right. So it was and still is, I think, a four-bedroomed cottage,
mm-hmm.
Two bedrooms, a parlour and a kitchen.
Yes, and it had a wood shingle roof, which was still found under the corrugated iron roof when it was redeveloped, which is quite cool. So they just put the corrugated iron on the top.
And of course, since 1992, it has been known as a Heritage New Zealand Category 1 listed building. Now, you've got a couple of categories there. You've got Category 1 and Category 2. Mm-hmm. Category 1 is when it is an historic place of special or outstanding historical or cultural significance or value. And, of course, Kohikohi Cottage actually ticks all of those boxes.
It sure does. Mm. So if you don't know where the property is, it's in Napier Street in Riverton, so just across from Aparimau College. And that was right beside the old Māori Kaikau village back in the day. I don't know if you've seen that photograph of, there's the photograph of the old Māori Kaikau, and you can just see Kohikohi's cottage just in the distance there.
And if you haven't seen it, then listen out for the end of the podcast.
Indeed.
Yes. There's a few stories connected with the property, and I think that it's fair to say that, of course, when John and Kohikohi moved in, they quickly added a couple of children to their family. There was George, he was born in 1838, and then Sarah Ann came along in 1840. But really tragically, Kohikohi died the following year, and she was really only in her early 20s,
so very young woman.
Mm. Yeah. John remained in Riverton, though. And he did go on to marry again. So he married Caroline Brown, also known as Koronaki, in 1845. Now, she was part Māori wahine and had come from Codfish Island.
Mm.
She became stepmother to George and Sarah Ann. And then the couple went on to have, wait for it, 17 children.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine Christmas time buying the presents for that lot. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just thinking about 17 children. She must have been continuously pregnant for years.
Yep, in that tiny house.
Oh, my word. I know. But, of course, that is why the Howe family is such a large and influential settler family in Western Southland. I was even amazed to find out that not only did they have enough of their own children, but they actually took on three orphan children as well.
Wow.
To be fair, they did not stay in Kohikohi Cottage. He did build a second house on Palmerston Street. Mm. And I didn't realise it, but apparently this cottage was actually taken over for a time by another very well-known Riverton identity, Dr. Ninian Trotter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in Trotter House, that big brick place on the street.
It was before he built the big brick place.
Yes, oh, yeah.
He was in Howe's Cottage on
Palmerston
Street.
Somewhere to stay before
Street.
He built it, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So Kohikohi's children, they all remained in Riverton, well, for a time. So George, he followed in his father's footsteps. He became a whaler too, a trader, a farmer, and he inherited Hale's cottage from his dad. So he lived there with his wife, Isabella, and five children. So not quite 17, but five, still a good number. And George was remembered for his gentle nature and his vivid recollections of the beginning of Riverton. So he lived to the ripe old age of 98, so almost made the century, which is pretty incredible for those days. And then the ownership of the cottage passed to his son, Edmund. Now, George's sister, Sarah Ann, so she grew up with a very full house, obviously, with all those children. And she was very close to her stepmother, Caroline. So she, after leaving home, she married William Cameron, and they were farmers. And they also were involved in the lighthouse on Rarotoka. So this is an interesting story. So they were living there, and it's one of the first land protests in Southland. So Sarah Ann and her relatives had always argued that Rarotoka was not sold as part of the Rakiura Purchase in 1864. But when the government decided to put a lighthouse on there, it obviously upset the family that were associated with Rarotoka. It was their island. They had deep cultural and ancestral significance to that island. And by the government building on it without consulting or paying a lease for it, it was rather upsetting, as you can imagine. So some of Sarah's whānau actually went over to the island and sort of occupied the lighthouse structure for a while to sort of make a first protest at what the government was doing was not kosher, I suppose. So yeah, it was just an interesting wee aside that Sarah Ann's family were associated with that lighthouse
So did they go on to be the lighthouse keepers?
Yes,
so that Sarah came Ann's, about after that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Her husband became the lighthouse keeper, which is quite cool. It was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, if we come back to Kohikohi Cottage, that I think it's really interesting that except for a 20-year period in the 50s and 60s, it has remained in family ownership.
Yes.
So John and Kokikohi's great-granddaughter, Eva Wilson, actually managed to purchase it and return it to the family in 1972. And she had a second house built on the property, which is where she lived until her death in 1992. And, of course, their great-great-grandson, Neville, still lives there today, which is remarkable, isn't it? It is astounding.
Sort of a family legacy. Yeah.
But of course, we've talked about the fact that the Howell family are hugely interwoven into the fabric of Riverton, really. And we talked earlier about the fact that Riverton was one of those earliest settlements. And so in 1938, the town of Riverton were actually celebrating their centennial, and they had all sorts of parades and dances, and there was some sporting events, but there was also an acknowledgement to that Howell legacy. So they actually reenacted the arrival of Kohikohi from Rarotonga to Aparima to marry Captain Howell.
That's pretty cool.
I think what an amazing thing to do. So this reenactment took place on the beach where she would have come in, and there were huge numbers of locals who were gathering to witness this symbolic landing. So I think that was really a lovely tribute to the family.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah. But then, of course, a little bit later on, so in the 1980s, when they decided they were going to have a sesquicentennial, that's 150 years for those playing at home, the Howells were again honoured, and they had a second reenactment. But this time it was one of the 1836 marriage ceremony.
That's right. I actually remember that.
Do you remember it?
I wasn't very elderly, but I do remember it as a youngster. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It was very cool.
Yeah, so that was held just south of the Coast Guard station, apparently, and
they
created a replica Māori village.
Mm. Yeah, it was amazing from memory.
That's commitment.
Absolutely.
If you're just coming back to John Howell a little bit, I think, he was quite involved in local government.
He was.
And he had quite the idea about Southland being a provincial government, and he was fighting quite hard for that. But he got a bit fed up because it didn't quite work out the way he wanted it to.
Right.
Now, I didn't know that he actually is connected to another historic heritage building.
That's right.
Which I did not know about.
Fairlight Station.
Mm.
Yeah, at Garston. So not too far from where the Kingston Flyer currently finishes its run out at Garston.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also another registered Heritage New Zealand property. Have you ever been?
I haven't been to Fairlight.
I haven't either. I'd love to go. I've seen the photos.
Okay, let's go.
It looks amazing. Nice. All right.
We'll go. So John actually died during a trip to Sydney in 1874 at the age of 64. But there's so many more stories about him and the cottage and the family. So if you'd like to learn a little bit more about the stories of Howell's Cottage, or you want to see some of those photographs, so one that you alluded to earlier, Davey, and there's even photos of the reenactments that we've just touched on briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So do go and check that out. Or maybe you want to have a listen to some of our previous Built Heritage episodes about the Grand Hotel and the Alexandra buildings. You're going to find it all on the Heritage South website. Really easy to find us, heritagesouth.nz. And, of course, our next heritage story is in the making as we speak, and it's going to be on the D Street Hospital. So do listen out for that one. So I look forward to you coming and joining me to
Absolutely.
Talk about that, Davey.
Well, thank you.
Hei konera en namahinoi. Thanks for listening to Heritage South. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links are also on Facebook on Radio Southland page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on the Heritage South's page at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform through the Access Media app or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.